Public News Service Wednesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. Sex offender Jeffrey Epstein referred to Donald Trump as the dog that hasn't barked and told his former companion, Ghislaine Maxwell, that an alleged victim had spent hours at my house with Trump. That according to an email correspondence released Wednesday by Democrats in the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. That from ABC News. They report the email exchange, which came just weeks after a British newspaper published a series of stories about Epstein and Maxwell and their powerful associates, was one of three released by Democrats from a batch of more than 23,000 documents the committee recently received from the Epstein estate in response to a subpoena. Meantime, supporters of clean energy are praising Illinois' new energy legislation. They say it includes some of the country's strongest labor standards and will ensure that local projects directly benefit Illinois residents.
Environmental and labor groups are among those who had a hand in working to pass the Clean and Reliable Grid Affordability Act. Joe Duffy with Climate Jobs Illinois, who played a key role, says one major component of the bill is that it works to address gaps in labor standards for clean energy projects across the board.
Not paying somebody a minimum wage, but paying somebody family-sustaining wages so that we're getting those projects online, but also making utility bills more affordable by having more supply from a variety of different generation sources.
The bill also includes higher goals for energy efficiency to reduce demand on the power grid. I'm Judith Ruiz, Branch reporting.
And many Missouri farmers and ranchers are frustrated by plans to lower beef prices. President Trump proposed buying 80,000 metric tons of beef from Argentina as a short-term way to lower grocery prices.
This comes just as ranchers in the Show Me State and nationwide were hoping to reinvest in their herds this year after droughts and uncompetitive and non-transparent markets put some family farmers out of business. Jamie Blair with the Missouri Rural Crisis Center says now is the time for national investment.
For them to be finally in a position where they were getting a decent price for their cattle, looking at being able to rebuild, which is necessary on a market level for our nation, to be undercut in this way at such a critical time in the rebuilding process is really harmful.
She thinks one major solution would be for the U.S. Department of Agriculture to enforce the Antitrust Packers and Stockyards Act, taking aim at the nation's largest beef producers, Cargill, JBS USA, the National Beef Packing Company, and Tyson Foods. This comes as the Justice Department says it's launching an investigation into price manipulation and collusion by those companies. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Next, a cold reality for folks in Montana who rely on help with their heating bills. They won't get those funds for months, even if the government shutdown ends immediately. Heather Grenier is with HRDC. It's a nonprofit that helps administer LIHEAP funding in southwestern Montana.
We're looking at probably January, February before those benefits are there. And so people will be well into the heating season by that time.
LIHEAP helped nearly 15,000 Montanans pay their energy bills last year. This is Public News Service.
The Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance needs volunteers for its annual Turnip for Hunger event. It happens on Saturday, November the 22nd.
Volunteers will harvest turnips grown by the Alliance at Heifer Ranch in Perryville. The Alliance's Alex Hendrickson says with disruptions to SNAP benefits and other federal cuts, this year's crop is more important than ever.
Pantries have seen more and more use and more of their neighbors needing to have that help. So Turnip for Hunger is a great way to directly help those in your communities that aren't necessarily able to fill out the table for Thanksgiving.
The turnip greens will be given to the Arkansas Food Bank for distribution to pantries and other agencies across the state. Volunteers can register online on the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance website. I'm Frieda Ross reporting.
And a new report finds Florida's justice system is failing women at nearly every turn, from when they are victims of crime to when they become defendants.
Researchers say the system often overlooked the trauma and abuse that can lead women to commit crimes. Sarah Anderson with the R Street Institute, who co-authored the report, says the issue is critical for Florida, which has one of the highest populations of incarcerated women in the country.
The justice system really fails women at both ends, because women quite often meet the system first as a victim of crime and then later as defendants themselves. Their trauma, abuse, economic hardship, and the unique sort of pathways that women take into the criminal justice system that differ from men's are rarely considered in courtrooms.
The report notes that without policies to consider trauma, women who commit crimes under coercion, such as sex trafficking victims forced into prostitution or fraud, face harsh mandatory sentences. Some critics warn that reforms based on trauma could risk undermining accountability for criminal acts. I'm Tramel Gomes.
Finally, two Oregon nonprofits have announced they intend to sue Pacific Bioproducts, alleging over 3 years of repeated pollution violations at its Warrenton location.
The facility is owned by Pacific Seafood and produces fish meal, shellfish, and fish oils used in pet food, livestock feed, and aquaculture. George Kimbrell is with the Center for Food Safety, one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit. He says the company's own data shows chlorine discharges reaching over 7,300 times the daily limit as recently as August.
Because the fish are kept in a very confined, unnatural way, they require lots of pesticides, fungicides, and other toxins to keep the fish free of disease in the facility.
This will be the second lawsuit this year against Pacific Seafood following a July lawsuit by the Center for Food Safety and others over Clean Water Act violations at its Rainbow Trout, marketed as steelhead facilities on the Eastern Columbia River. That lawsuit is still in its early stages, and the latest suit will be filed in December. I'm Isabel Charlet.
This is Public News Service.